When police arrived to find the young Strack family sprawled lifeless across the master bedroom, they couldn't have known just how truly twisted this family's story would turn out to be. The chronicles of the murder-suicide committed by Christy and Benjamin Strack in their final days are open to debate, with the history of mental illness and drug abuse potentially to blame. But behind the walls of a Utah state penitentiary, an evil that haunted the state decades prior lurked and preyed on the couple, and helped influence their ideology in such a way that they would end up murdering their own three children. My name is Anne Marie Luno, and this is Down the Rabbit Hole. For the Strack children, their lives were never anything but atypical. Christy Strack was only about 6 years old when last episode's story took place, but Dan and Ron Lafferty's removal revelation would turn out to drastically shape her life. Both Christy and her second husband Benjamin had a history of substance abuse that had left them with irreparable mental and emotional damage. Christy herself was now prescribed methadone treatments for the heroin addiction. She didn't grow up with any connection to Dan Lafferty, and she hadn't heard about him either. It wasn't until nearly 2 decades after his conviction, when the book Under the Banner of Heaven by John Krakauer was published, that Christy Strack would be introduced to the infamy of Dan Lafferty. At this point, she had a son named Jansen from her first marriage, and ended up remarrying Benjamin Strack and giving birth to 3 more boys, Benson, Emery, and Zion. A mother of 4, a devout Mormon, curiosity began innocently enough, and she started by writing letters to Dan while he was imprisoned in Utah State Penitentiary. However, as their relationship developed, it was apparent that Christy's friendship had spiraled into a deep obsession with Dan Lafferty and his principles, giving in once again to her addictive tendencies. As if incessantly writing the convicted murderer wasn't enough, she and Ben visited Dan in prison weekly. They bought into the religious persona that Dan projected, latching onto his ideologies, preachings, and reveling in the local infamy. Christy even believed that Dan the Prophet would be able to heal her ovarian cancer at one point. Now, despite their deep religious ties with the Mormon Church, the family had begun to stray when Christy and Ben's own fears and ideologies metastasized, particularly regarding an impending Armageddon. Christy and Ben began to fear that the end of the world was approaching, and that the wrath of God was going to be dealt across the globe. The couple's mindset regarding this doomsday was likely influenced by an outside source like Dan, but it was their mental illness that left them susceptible in the first place. It wasn't only the Strack's growing obsession, Dan too latched onto the couple that gave him so much attention. He encouraged their letters and visits, and had grown quite fond of them as well. For 15 years, since the last episode, he had been growing his hair out like a biblical prophet, but upon Christy's request, he cut his beard and hair that was once down to his waist and sent it to the Strack family as a gift. Dan had even requested in his will that his ashes be sent to Christy and Ben whenever the time came. He claims that he treated Christy like one of his own children, and she in turn had fallen in love with him. Even Benjamin knew that Christy was in love with Dan, and he said he was okay with it, blinded under the spell of a prophet. Around 2008, the couple's relationship with Dan began tapering off for multiple legal reasons. At one point, Christy tried to pass her brother off as Benjamin in order to bring him to a visit with Dan. This led to a temporary removal of visitation rights. However, they would soon lose all access to visit when they were faced with forgery and drug-related charges of their own. It was at this point when Christy and Ben pulled their kids out of school. Those around them thought that the couple were metaphorically leaving society and going off the grid. They never could have imagined that they would commit such a heinous act. but the couple's obsession with one of Utah's most callous murderers should have been a much bigger warning sign. Their relationship with Dan would go dormant, but the damage had already been done. And come September, the Strack family would become Dan Lafferty's next and last unknowing victims. It had been a week since Benjamin was last seen at work, and on September 27th, 2014, Christy's 19-year-old son Jansen from her first marriage opened the front door to a silent home. With three more children under the age of 15, this was extremely unusual for the Strack household. Jansen began searching the home for clues to the family's whereabouts, wondering where they went off to when they knew that he and his fiancée were coming over to visit. But when he came upon the master bedroom, the door wouldn't budge. He called his grandmother over to the house, and when the two of them pried open the door, they found the rest of the family. Only instead, it was their dead bodies. 14-year-old Benson and 12-year-old Emery were laid on an air mattress at the foot of the bed, a sheet covering their bodies. 11-year-old Zion's body was found in the bed, wedged between his parents, Christy and Benjamin, who were put on this earth to be the protectors, champions, and guardians of the family. The father was the only one left uncovered, and the positioning of the bodies seemed to indicate that he was the one who died last. Their cause of death wasn't immediately apparent to responders, but shortly afterwards they located a yellow-orange liquid, a lethal drug cocktail, in a child's sand pail in the room. Further testing, along with toxicology reports, revealed that prepared inside was a mixture of cold medicine, allergy medicine, pain medicine, sleeping medicine, and cherry-flavored liquid methadone. An overwhelmingly toxic combination to kill the children without any room for doubt. The children were put to sleep before they even knew they were dying. Then, Christy herself overdosed solely on a lethal amount of methadone, prescribed to her in good faith as an opiate treatment, while Benjamin overdosed on heroin. Despite so many potential warning signs, the family murder-suicide came as a shock to those around them. Of course, it's always clearer in hindsight. Back at the house, police found what looked like a to-do list of an ordinary family ready for vacation. It had reminders on it like feed the pets and find a house sitter. There was no suicide note or any other indication that the family didn't intend to come back around. The only thing found in the house that indicated any premeditation of the murder was a letter that 14-year-old Benson had written to a friend. 2 days before the tragedy, he chose to bequeath many of his belongings to his best friend, what would be valuable items for a teenager, and in the note he indicated that he didn't think his family would be around much longer. With no signs of trauma or struggle, the children wrongfully trusted their parents with their lives. Ben and Christy desired to escape from an evil in the world, which turned out to be themselves. The two youngest children's deaths were ruled a homicide as they were too young to consent, but even Benson's murder has been left as could not be determined. A Springfield police press release reads that because of his age, it is difficult to determine if he was capable to make a decision to commit suicide or to consent to join with his parents in committing suicide. The other two children were absolutely, obviously too young to consent to any sort of agreement to commit suicide. When news of the tragedy made its way to Dan Lafferty in prison, he seemed about just as surprised as anyone else. However, surprise is not an equivalent for remorse. Lafferty is quoted as saying, "I'll miss them, but I'm happy for them. I believe they're in paradise now." His personal teachings on an impending apocalypse directly correlate to the panicked behavior that was noted by those around the Strack family. Dan admits that he influences Stracks, stating that his insanity messes with people's lives. He said that it's just the way it is. And while this isn't a direct admission of guilt or collusion, it lends the idea that Christy and Benjamin's decision to kill their family likely started over a decade prior, when Dan latched himself into their lives. In fact, it was a string of murders 30 years in the making, and the Strack family became the Lafferty brothers' final victims. Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Strack family murder. For more information on Dan Lafferty, check out my last episode on the removal revelation. If you appreciate the content and research, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts so that more listeners like you can find my work. I have extra content from this and every episode on my Instagram, @drh_pod, and a transcript and sources on my website, drhpod.com. There, you can also leave me a case suggestion so that I can tell the stories that matter to you. And as always, I will see you next time when you follow me down the rabbit hole.